Good evening, gentlemen. Good evening, good evening. Today we're going to be discussing in Hilchos Eruvin. The first part of this year is undoubtedly the most controversial and the most discussed topic within Hilchos Eruvin, and within Hilchos Rishus Rabbim, within Hilchos Hoitzon Shabbos. It's probably, and I actually noticed that it's not a recent controversy and debate. It's probably one of the foundation of any debate and discussion with regards to carrying in the Eruv, not in the Eruv. It's one of those very hot topics. If you ever have a boring kind of discussion, or you see that it's getting a bit dull on the Shabbos table, and conversation is getting a little bit rusty, so pick this one. This is the one. Let's get a bit of information over here, because I do want to get this clear. We discussed yesterday, Siv Zion, the definition of Ezer Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. Let me just zoom quickly through the three lines on page 392, and then do the line. Yes, the line on the following page, which is the Yesh Oimrim. So in Siv Zion, we have the definition of Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, which is as follows. Ezer Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, let us, what is Rosh Hashanah Rabbim? The definition of Rosh Hashanah Rabbim is as follows. Rechovos, streets, ushvokim, marketplaces, harechovim, which are wide, tezayin amah, 16 amas wide, ve'eino mekorim, there is no roof, it's not roofed. Once it is roofed, it will not be Rosh Hashanah Rabbim anymore. So part of the definition of Rosh Hashanah Rabbim is that it is tezayin amah, and there is no roof over it. Once it's covered, it cannot be Rosh Hashanah Rabbim anymore. Well, most times, it's not surrounded by walls. Even if there is walls around it, if it is mefulish, we discussed that yesterday. See picture bottom left of the page. What mefulish means, if it's straight across from gate to gate, and the gates are not locked by night. There you go. That is Rosh Rabim. So again, the first opinion is, in a nutshell, Rosh Rabim is something which is meant for the public. Tezayin Am is wide. Then you've got Rosh Rabim. So the main element, the main quality of Rosh Rabim is that it is public, and you've got Tezayin Am wide. And it is something which is given to the public, such as a marketplace, a street. Good. Comes along, and that's pretty common. That's pretty common. According to this definition, any common street is considered Rosh Rabim. We mentioned Edgerbury, we mentioned A41, we mentioned the A1, we mentioned most residential streets in any normal country. Those roads will be Rosh Rabim, whether you're in England, whether you're in America, in Eretz Yisrael, the Rosh Rabim. Comes along the Ramah. He says the following point. V'yesh oimrim, top of the page, some say, to call she'ein shishim riboy oivrim boy, whenever you don't have 60 riboy, a riboy is 10,000 people, 60 times 10,000 equals, even in my very limited numeracy skills, up to 600,000. So, call she'ein shishim riboy, if you do not have 600,000 people going over it, b'chol yoim, every day, einoy Rishus Rabim, it is not considered Rishus Rabim. Rabbi said, this opinion says, and this is, and there is Rishonim hold that way, that if you don't, the part of the definition of Rishus Rabim is, you've got to have 600,000 people per day going on that particular place, and that's how you're going to have Rishus Rabim. It is very, let's see where it's coming from. I want to see the Mishnah over here. Please allow me today to go over the 10 minutes that I normally do Eruvin, but today a little bit more perhaps. Sefkot Chav Gimel, the Mishnah Berurah says, the Mishnah Berurah tells us, what is the reason for those in Shoinim hold that the public domain is defined by having 600,000 people? That comes from the Digle Midbar. We know all the Melachas Shabbos are because we found this in the Mishkan. Similarly, Melech HaZoytzah was found in the Mishkan. And in the Mishkan, we know that the Melech HaZoytzah was found by carrying something from a private domain to a public domain. And what was the top public domain in the Mishkan? Where? That's right. The Machne Yisrael. How many people were in Machne Yisrael? 600,000 people. So those who Shoyim say, like we find in the Midbar, that's where we know Melech Yisrael from. It's from the Midbar. That's the only first and only and most important time we find in the Mishkan was Oitzor. And Oitzor was found by carrying from a private domain to a public domain, which had 600,000 people there. Yes, yes, yeah. Continues the Mishnah Berurah. Mamash points out what you are saying. Svir lehu de gam rozebin and dumi digle meipo. Like everything else in Lamates Melochos, we compare it to digle meipo. Certainly, when it comes to the defining Rishus Rabim, we compare it to digle meipo. To the midbar, shoyishim shishim rebbe. There were 600,000 people there. Ve'av shoyishim oid erev rav v'noshim rav. There was also erev rav noshim children v'taf children. Additionally, lo'ichashvinon. We only count elamashinim tzoik b'kosu b'feish. We only will count the 600,000 males that we know about. Good. Now this is the opinion. Now that comes the $1 million question. This is a huge critical difference. How do you define Rishus Rabim? Because remember, Rabbi Yisai, if you want to make an Eruv, what we call an Eruv, which actually is not very accurate, we'll speak about that later. It's not really accurate to call it an Eruv, but what we call an Eruv. It makes a huge difference if you're dealing with Rishus Rabim or you're not dealing with Rishus Rabim. Because if you're dealing with if it's not Rishus Rabim, then what is it going to be? It's going to be a common. It's an account. It's much easier to make a Rishus Yochid from Kaman. But if something is a genuine Rishus Rabim, then it's very hard. I'm not saying it's impossible. It's very hard to make an Eruv if something is a genuine Rishus Rabim. Therefore, we have to ask, how do we pasken? What is Taka the Halacha in this huge fundamental machlokes? What is Rishus Rabim? Is it like the first opinion that if once you've got Tezayin Amma, you've got a Rishus Rabim, watch out then how you're going to make an Eruv? Or is it like the second opinion that no, Edgerbury Lane, Warwick, Franklin, is not a Rishus Rabim because you don't have 600,000 people going there every day. You don't have it. So you don't have 600,000 people going there. The second opinion says you need to have 600,000 people going there. If you don't have 600,000 people, it's not a Rishus Rabim. So what is it? It's a commonness. It's much easier to make an Eruv there. So that's the key question. How do we pasken? To pasken like the first opinion and second opinion. And this is a very fundamental and very, very big machlokes Rishonim. And this machlokes starts from Rashi Tosfos and it goes all the way till contemporary poskim. Let us see what the Mishnah Berurah says, because that's going to give us a great insight. Mishnah Berurah says, Ve'l'inyan halacha, and with regards to halacha, from the Loshon of the Shulchan Aruch, it would appear that there's a rule. There's a rule that the Shulchan Aruch tells us how we pasken. And that depends on the lingo, on the nusach of the Shulchan Aruch. If he says an opinion, we know that's how we pasken. What if he says an opinion, then a yesh oimrim, some say. Shulchan Aruch said two opinions. The first one was a stam, a generic statement, and then after v'yesh oimrim, some say. So how do we normally pasken? When it's a stam, and then a yesh oimrim, how do we normally pasken? Stam. Shulchan Aruch, normally one of the rules of the Shulchan Aruch is stam v'yesh oimrim, halachik is stam. We'll pasken like the stam, which is good news or bad news? Bad news. Yeah. So says the Mishnah Berurah. Lein halacha d'midas mechaber the cause of this rak b'shem yesh oimrim. Mashma da halacha lo yisvir lukein. It would appear that the halacha is not like the second opinion. It would appear that our first opinion is the main halacha. Mikol mokem ein bo nukeach limchos b'yad asoim chim al de'ezu. We cannot be moicha protest against people who go with the second opinion. It's true that it is not a single opinion. It's written about it in Bi'alocha. There's many opinions who hold like the second opinion. That's how many achronim pasken. This is very famously, very frequently quoted. Kol baal nefesh yachmel atzmoi. Anybody who has got a soul, as a literal but very inaccurate translation. How are we going to translate baal nefesh? Somebody who's got, what's the name?
Somebody who's stringent upon themselves.
Yeah, perhaps. I like Rabbi Schneeball's translation, because he translated this when he gave when he wrote a Rabbi Schneeberg, when he gave his Heksha on the Edra Eov, he quoted this, and I've now forgotten how he translated this, but that has got to do with it. But he said, any Baal Nefesh, anybody who is stringent, should follow the second opinion, which tells us that what? That it's not the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. But he says that Baal Nefesh should be Machmir. Okay. We've got this. Now, Rabbi Isai, there is an additional couple of points that we must point out. This is a key machloikus. And again, you ask anybody, they'll have an opinion on this. Any Rav, any Poisek, anybody, any layman will have an opinion if the Halacha is like the first opinion or like the second opinion. It's one of those very hot debates. It's interesting that the Bialacha actually goes through... goes to Rishonim, list of Rishonim in the very long Bialach of here. Pretty much what he does, he tries to balance out and weigh out where's the majority of opinions? Where's the majority of opinions? And is the majority of opinion stringent or lenient? But that itself is a bit controversial because there's been more recently that I heard that from Diane Simons years ago. If you look at the Rishonim that we've got published nowadays, it because more Rishonim has been published since the Bialach, and therefore it outbalances a little bit. But leaving out the counting of the Rishonim, one very important point which I must make, is that I think that unanimously there's an agreement, I think, that the Mishnah Berurah says elsewhere that the minhag was always to be lenient in this. I think that's a true statement to make. I don't want to be stoned, but I think it's true to say that the minhag was always to be lenient. That Rishus Rabim is only once you've got Shishim Riboy. And if you do not have a Shishim Riboy, then it's not a Rishus Rabim. Based on that, universally, globally, whether the Eruvs were established throughout Europe, I think that in Sephardish countries they were a bit more stringent. So I understand from some Sephardish poskim, some Sephardim were perhaps a bit more stringent, but certainly in Mid and Eastern Europe, the Mesoira was to be lenient and to pass the Minhag was to be lenient that without Shishim Rabim, you do not have Rishus Rabim. I'm going to switch this off now. Also a very great debate, and I want to point this out as well. There's a famous Reb Moshe Feinstein. It has to do with this Bialach over here. Famous Psak of Reb Chaim Oizen in Chele Gimel, which is not a very widespread tshuva, but it does say that when he speaks about Paris. And there's an opinion that holds that, think about street. How many streets do you know that have 600,000 people going through? How many? 600,000 people. Motorways. A41? You've got 600,000 people going there? 600,000 people?
When you say the A1, think of the North Circuit.
Things like the A1. A41, don't you?
Not only do they have probably 600,000, the thing is, they start in Snowbunds or further down.
All the way to Scotland. Good, yeah, because you go M1 and you carry, because of the M1 or without the M1?
Without the M1.
Okay, so Abayis, I want to make the following few points here, because that makes the topic even more complex. That there is although the Shulchan Aruch says, Shishim Riboy B'chol Yoim, you've got to have a road that 600,000 people go there every day to make into Rishus Rabim. Now, when I looked into it about 7 years ago, I looked into it and according to my, made a few phone calls and I investigated this a little bit. Even the M1, which is probably the most, doesn't have anywhere near 600,000 people per day. No, not per day. He reaches many, many tens of thousands, perhaps hundreds of thousands, a few hundred of thousands, but it will not reach a threshold of 600,000 people per day. Think about it. That's like how much percentage-wise? How many?
M45, I'm asking.
I don't know, but you're going to be struggling to find 600,000 people going there per day. I'm counting cars. Yeah, I'm not counting cyclists.
Have 5 people in one car.
Yeah, so count, even if you do, you're going to struggle to get, I'm telling you, you'll struggle. But even if yes, then you're going to have perhaps the M1, which is Rishus Rabim Dereisa, and besides that, perhaps the M25, I doubt it, but not much more than that across the UK. So the question is, what do you...
The nearest going on, there's
Oh, very good. Now that's Naftali's point is very much what the poskim say. Now there is a bit of mashmos in Bialocha, but certainly Reb Moshe Feinstein and certainly Reb Chaim Oizer, some of the gedolei ha-poskim, those that are known in our world as the ones who didn't like the Eruv, and excuse for that phrase because it's not nice and not accurate, but those poskim, those gedolim who were noted against the Eruv, they had the understanding that when you go with this, they held that when you talk about it goes a little bit different. He goes that once you have a city that has 600,000 people, a city that has 600,000 people, then all its main arteries, is that the word? Arteries, its main arteries then will be defined as Tushit Rabim. It does not need to be that on that particular street you need to have 600,000 people. It's a city. Ir Shiesh B'Shishim Rebo. And the emesis, you don't have to search far to find the Mekor for that because Rashi in Eruvin three places says that Nusach. Ir Shiesh B'Shishim Rebo. It doesn't have to be the Rechoiv. It needs to be Ir Shiesh B'Shishim. Once you've got a city which has 600,000 people, then all its main arteries will be Rishus Rabim Deraisa. Once you go with that, you can see that the Machlokas is it's quite, then you've got much more, because according to that understanding, and that's what many poskim say, that all you're going to have, according to that understanding, you're going to have all the main roads within London, without a doubt, are going to be considered Shtab and the Reise. And then imagine now the challenges to make an Eruv. Yeah. Very good. That's what you are saying now is exactly what Moshe Feinstein says. That's exactly what Moshe Feinstein says. That is exactly what Moshe Feinstein says. And that's his proof. Very good. So that nusach is very difficult to understand. Yeah, because the Loshon of the Shulchan Aruch, Ovrim Boy, B'chol Yom, and B'Shut Rabim, it's true, this is the challenge. And I actually was Zoicha a few years ago, it bothered me because Moshe Feinstein is Shuva, he doesn't address this point. So a few years ago I asked his closest Talmud, who happens to be son as well, Moshe Feinstein's son, in New York, I asked him that very question. I called him up and I said, can I just ask you a few questions about the, I know it's a very controversial issue, and I know it's a, he said, yeah, as long as I don't record it, you can ask me. So I allowed myself to ask. So I asked him a few questions. It took me a good few weeks to get hold of him. I asked him that question. He didn't ever, he said he's aware of it. It's in Loshon Shulchan Aruch. He says he's not even sure that his father was coming from the Shulchan Aruch, but that's the opinion that many Rishonim hold. You have to be chosh for that opinion. So this is one of the main, so if you want to understand, and the Emma says it's a bit hard to, how many streets were there in the time Shulchan Aruch that had 600,000 people going past? Imagine. There was no such thing. So until very recently, and we're talking about literally perhaps 20 years ago, 30 years ago, there was no such metzias of a street that has 600,000 people going per day. So, but if we're talking about an ir sheyesh bo shishim riboy, if you've got a city, that already, if I looked into it, we have already, this could be already, I'm saying, not in times of Mishnais, and not in times of the Gemara, and not in times of Shulchan Aruch, but there is already for much longer years, there is cities that have 600,000 people in. So, I forgot, I checked into it, what time London had, I almost checked into it when, I forgot, pardon?
What you call London, he said 7 million. Yeah.
7 million, yeah. So since when does he, since when does he have 600,000 people? It's already good. It's, I think it was maybe in the 1850s maybe or something. Oh, I'm guessing now, I don't remember exactly. But this is the key shaila when it comes to Eruvin. It's about defining Rishus Rabim. This is the key question. So there's two questions within it. Can I just summarize? There's two questions. One is, how do you define Rishus Rabim? Is it Tezayin Amma? Option number one. Or is it 600,000 people? Within that second opinion of 600,000 people, what does it mean? Does it mean Ovrim Boy B'chol Yoim? Does it mean on that very street? Or does it mean the city? Either way, there is a machloek is how we paskin, like the first opinion and the second opinion. If the Bi'alocha tells us that we need to be choshish and Baal Nefesh should be choshish on the second opinion, the Alocha is like the first opinion, but the Baal Nefesh should make the second opinion, the Nafkamini will be as to whether it can be Semich on the Eruvin or not. Pretty much. pretty much. So that's much of the background of the discussion. Okay, there's much more to it, but I think this is definitely a very clear outline of the general main machlokes. I want to spend a minute on Simon Shin Lamed. Shin Lamed Vav, and we're going to be learning Simon Shin Lamed Vav Sif Dalet, and I will at least learn the Sif of here, which tells us as follows: Yesh li zroim el hashlich zroim pemokim yiridas kshamim. Make sure not to throw zroim seeds. Make sure not to throw seeds in a place where there is earth, soil, and it may rain. Why?
It could grow.
Obviously, this is not referring to the fact that you're taking a seed and you're planting it, you're putting it on the earth. Obviously, everybody understands. Any child knows this is Melech Hezoriah and is also Medereiser. This is not what Shulchan Aruch is referring to. Shulchan Aruch is referring to when you're without intention putting seeds on the ground. So, such as you're having an apple and then without much, not you don't intend to plant an apple tree, but you intend to get rid of your pips and you're just throwing that. So even that, Shulchan Aruch is teaching us, you must be careful not to do so, because you may end up planting a seeds which are going to grow into.
That takes a long time.
Very good. You are asking exactly Mishnah Berurah's question here. Let me just finish the Shulchan Aruch over here before we go to your question. If you throw to the chickens. Did you know that it was a very common way to get rid of the seeds? So you wanted to put seeds to the chickens, and that's what they eat. Good idea. So now, if you're throwing it to the chickens, and the chickens are not how the chickens are on the, so what are you going to do? You've got chickens in your farm, and you want to throw the seeds onto the floor for them to eat. So you have to do that. Yes or no? Shulchan Aruch is teaching us, if you want to feed your chickens and thereby throwing seeds for them to nourish themselves from that, you should only throw, you throw as much as the chickens are likely to eat on that day, or for 2 days. But if you're going to throw more than that, then you may not, because it's may going to end up growing. Now, I don't know much about chickens. To me, it's a chiddush that they have that they stop eating once they are full. You know, animals, the cows seem to be never satisfied. You know what I mean? Yeah, so they always go on and on and on. I don't know what that means to throw. What happens after 2 days worth of seeds? What they're going to say? That was enough. Say, bracha chayin, and that's it. You know, that was their dessert. Is that, I don't understand, because I don't have much experience with chickens, but I've assumed that they just keep on going and going. But no, Shulchan Aruch is teaching us, you may not give them more than 1 or 2 days feeds, because more than that, they're going to leave behind, and it's going to end up growing. And if you're putting it in a place where plenty of people are treading on and walking on, that's permitted, because that will not grow. So if you're putting it in a place where people just step on, walk on, that's permitted, because they are going to, it's not going to grow, it's never going to grow. Your question very briefly is what Mishnah Berurah speaks about. So you ask, you know what, we're going to leave that for tomorrow's shiur, because it's a very important question about Melech Hezoriah, so we're going to leave that out. So Rabbi said we discussed the two opinions of Shulchan Aruch about Rosh Hashanah, the two understandings in the second opinion, and we spoke about the great debate, how we paskin. We then move on to Simon Shin Lamed Vav Sif Dalet, and we discussed about the issa of throwing seeds in a place where it may grow, even without intention, and we spoke about the fact you're allowed to put it in front of the chickens, as long as it's 1 or 2 days feed. More than that would be also. More on your very important question. Be'ezer Hashem, Yisbarach Shemo tomorrow. Good evening.